Welcome back to The Business, coming to you live from Shannon Airport. You can email thebusiness@rte.ie or tweet to @thebusinessrte, or you can like us on our Facebook page, The Business RTE Radio 1. Well, here at the airport, a bronze bust of Brendan O'Regan takes pride of place, commemorating a man whose imagination grew Shannon Airport, and indeed the Shannon region, into what it is today. Brendan started off in 1938 managing the restaurant at what was then the Foynes Flying Boat Terminal, which preceded Shannon Airport. But that was just the beginning for the airport. He dedicated his life to developing the region, founding the world's first airport duty-free shop, Shannon Development, the Shannon Free Zone, and indeed Bunratty Castle and Folk Park events. Well, before we talk about him, let's hear from Brendan himself. Here he is talking to John Quinn in 1994 about the motivation that lay behind proving that Shannon would succeed.
And one of the driving things, certainly, that drove me and people like Joe Lucy and others who were the first people to join me was, look, we'll show them what the Irish can do. And that was almost an emotional situation, because young people now won't realise, but there was a very serious inferiority complex in Ireland at that time vis-a-vis the British.
And we were still a very young
state. We hadn't proven ourselves. Aer Lingus hadn't come. We had no management institutes and so on. And I mean, those who may listen to this, particularly young people, should know that the biggest driving force in those days amongst the Irish was the love of Ireland.
Brendan O'Regan speaking there back in 1994. Well, I'm joined now by Brian O'Connell, Brendan's biographer, and Matthew Thomas, CEO of Shannon Group, to talk about Shannon then and now. You're both very welcome to the programme. Brian, first to you. Obviously, national pride was a very high priority for Brendan O'Regan. You met him. What kind of man was he?
Well, Brendan O'Regan primarily was somebody who, as to use a phrase that Dennis Brosnan mentioned earlier, he was a dreamer. He was somebody who had a wonderful vision as to how things could get better. And as personality, he was able to, his leadership, his charismatic leadership was able to attract other people to follow him as to what he wanted to do. He was disciplined, he was charming, some people described him as the greatest optimist they ever met, and he was driven by two guiding forces. One was he was very much anxious to show the world, as part of what he referred to, the first generation of free Irishmen, what Ireland and Irish people could do, and also he was driven by his father's motto that the greatest thing a man could do in life was to create a job for another person.
Now, he had a fascinating career. A lot of his early years working were in the hotel industry, and he worked in London, he worked in Germany, for example. He was in Germany in the 1930s when the Nazis and the brown shirts came to power. He had an interesting encounter with a few brown shirts, I read.
Yes, he did. He was working in Bavaria, which was a part of Germany that was particularly Catholic, and the Nazis, not all fully appreciated, had a campaign going against the Catholic and the Protestant churches in Germany, and he was there. He would have witnessed firsthand the brown shirts creating noise when masses were on, and he described one particular occasion where they came into the hotel he was working and shouted, "Heil Hitler!" And being from Clare, despite his political background not being in Fianna Fáil, he shouted, "Heil De Valera!" And they were coming across the desk at him, and he had to loudly protest that he wasn't English, he was Irish.
I'd say it was fairly confusing for them. Now, this big idea, probably only the first of many big ideas that Brendan had, was the concept of duty-free shopping. He'd gone to America, and it was on his return journey that the penny dropped, and he thought about this idea of tax-free, duty-free shopping for airports.
Yes, he was on a six-week training course under the Marshall Aid Programme to try and encourage the Irish government to do more about tourism. And on his way home, he decided instead of flying, he'd go on a ship to write down all these bright new ideas he had got in the United States. And while on the ship, he noticed all the drinking and smoking duty-free, and he said, wait now, Shannon Airport is in competition with these. It's been set up specifically for transatlantic travel. So if they can have duty-free, why can't we have duty-free in Shannon Airport? Now, trying to persuade revenue authorities to bend on something like duty-free is not easy.
And of course, at that time, people flying, it would have been really the financial elite. So he would have had to have convinced politicians and revenue in Ireland to give a tax break for luxury spending for a very wealthy group of people. Yes. That was a hard sell.
That was a pretty hard sell. But he persuaded Johnny Acosta, who was the Taoiseach at the time. And there was also pressures coming on the government to do something about... They had created a free airport in Shannon, but they had specifically ruled out the idea of shops selling duty-free to passengers. But there was pressure from the Marshall Aid. The Americans were putting pressure on the government to do something about tourism. So there was that outside pressures. And with that... he was able to get it across the line at a cabinet meeting in 1950. It took another 9 months because the revenue then insisted it had to be in a separate location where they keep a close eye on it.
Now, he went on from the duty-free shopping concept to the wider Shannon Free Zone, Shannon Development. He had the idea of attracting foreign investment into the region, but he had to get around or amend what were very restrictive manufacturing export laws at that time.
Yeah, the manufacturing laws brought in 1932 basically made foreign control of manufacturing illegal, that all manufacturing from that time under the Control of Manufacturers Act had to be majority Irish control. Allied to that, there was a big tariff regime, and that had, you could argue, good effects on the 1930s. It doubled the industrial base of industrial workers in the country, but by the 1950s, that was an economic millstone around the neck of the country, and we were falling behind relative to other countries, and between emigration and unemployment, the economy was in very dire straits. So he clearly recognised that when he took it upon himself to try and see what he could do to save the airport. Everyone was announcing he was on first name terms with the manufacturers of aircraft and with the airline companies, and they were saying that when the jet planes arrived, there'd be no future for Shannon. It was a refueling stop. It was a whiskey stop, as some of them called it disparagingly. It wouldn't be needed anymore. So in order to get people to come to Shannon, there had to be some reason for them to come to Shannon. One was tourism, and the second was industry. So we focused on those two.
So he became a sort of a one-man IDA. The success was such that in 1966, 31% of Ireland's manufacturing exports came from the Shannon Free Zone area. It was so successful for us. But as somebody, from my point of view, growing up in a border county, in the 1980s, we would have looked at Shannon and the Midwest with a degree of envy because it had an airport, it had its own development agency, it had tremendous foreign direct investment that maybe border counties and other regions didn't enjoy. But it's really only when you look at how that came about, how did all of that end up in this region? Brendan O'Regan is the answer, really. He was instrumental.
Yes, he was. Effectively, Mihola Murkathig, in his book Baralula to Mangerton Mountain, picked his all-stars of the 20th century. And he had two men at Centrefield as the essential link between the founders of the state and modern Ireland. And they were T.K. Whittaker and Brendan O'Regan, because he was a forerunner of the programme of industrialisation, which is a huge employer in the state today, 350,000 people directly and indirectly employed in foreign direct investment, and tourism. He got a whole lot of hotels, five hotels built in this region by Irish Americans that he personally chatted to and persuaded, whatever the business case was, that they must do this.
And so he's obviously a good salesman as well. A fascinating individual and a fascinating read. Brian O'Connell, author of Brendan O'Regan, Irish Innovator, Visionary and Peacemaker. Thank you very much for that. I'm joined also by Matthew Thomas, Chief Executive of Shannon Group. Matthew, we've heard there about Brendan O'Regan and all he did. No pressure then.
No, but it's also the reason I moved my family over from New York. It's not a pressure, it's a tremendous legacy that we've inherited, but it's a massive opportunity. You know, there's not often a job role comes to you which is really to disrupt the economic development of half a country.
Now, you had been working based in Manhattan, you've been in the airport business for many years, you've worked all around the world. That was a big change, Manhattan to Shannon, the Midwest, Ireland?
Yeah, big change. I mean, moving to, you know, the most beautiful part of the world, it's not that hard to sell, but... The opportunity is the one, you know, people don't really realise the Shannon Group contributes $3.6 billion to the national economy. We support 46,000 jobs, and I would say we're underperforming. We need to really move through the gears now. So, you know, we're still quite a young company. The group was only created 3.5 years ago. But you look at the kind of
what's
before
in the
and
group,
after.
Matthew. People will obviously think of Shannon Airport, but the other elements to
it. Shannon Airport is what was Shannon Development. So we've got pretty much the biggest land banks and commercial property portfolio in the country, and we're the biggest tourist or operator of tourist attractions in Shannon Heritage. We're also the centre for Ireland's aerospace industry. So we have 60 aerospace companies based here at the Free Zone.
And that property portfolio, where is all of that property? A lot of it obviously is in the immediate vicinity
of
the airport, but
it's
elsewhere too.
It's really from Galway down through Clare and Limerick into Tipperary and down into Kerry.
And what about the development of that? We talked earlier with Dennis Brosnan about the turnaround of the region in the last 10 years. How are you seeing that feed through in the performance of Shannon Group and the likes of those properties and getting commercial clients?
That's going to be the key to the group's success in the future. You know, it's leveraging all the parts of the group, ultimately to help the airport. So we've seen, you know, in the 5 years since the group or Shannon was separated from the DAA, we've gone from 5 years of passengers going down to we'll deliver our sixth year of growth this year. So at the end of the year, we'll be up about 30% passenger numbers. Look at the property portfolio. We were at 40% occupancy across the Free Zone. We're now up to 90. We don't have enough stock, so we're building very, very aggressively. And we've doubled our visitor numbers in our heritage attractions. The kind of key to it, though, is it's going to be the investment going forward. That is absolutely the key. So the 5 years before separation, about $5 million a year was being invested. We're now investing nearly $40 million a year. I'd like to double that again. And you can see this. I firmly believe the opportunity is there to invest that kind of money.
And where
but
can
it's
that
going
money,
to be a catalyst.
Yeah, where can that money come from? What are the options for raising that
key.
Money?
You know, it's going to be how we generate it from our own activities. So really driving, you know, we're a semi-state business, but very much with a commercial mandate. But it's very normal for infrastructure businesses like ours to actually be supported by banks through debt. So we're really calling on the government to work with us on how we deliver that that investment in infrastructure that's really going to allow the planning framework and the development plan to be implemented in this part of the world.
Now, you've been quite critical of the role played by Dublin and Dublin Airport in particular in relation to the economic growth and growth in the sector. For example, you told members of Clare County Council in November the only conclusion to take from the various figures which show that Dublin Airport has increased its market share from 72% in 2005 to 87% now was that Ireland's policy was leading towards there only being one airport in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Very strong words. I mean, Shannon has been growing and Shannon wanted independence from Dublin for a very long time. It got its independence and now it's saying it's still Dublin's fault.
No, not at all. And, you know, I call at the outset, the team at DAA are good. You know, I was a co-shareholder with them in Cyprus, so I've got an awful lot of time with them. I think the point I was really making there was a healthy aviation system isn't just one airport. It's the cross-section of airports. So we know we have 40% of American FDI in our catchment area. There's a reason for that. It's the connectivity we bring. So I think, you know, what we're... I wouldn't say it's... You know, life's not fair and we need the state to wave a wand to help us. You know, this is a call to all our stakeholders and, you know, the strength of the region is the level of collaboration here is we need to look to the likes of Brendan O'Regan, hold our head high and say, right, we're going to paddle our own canoe here.
Well, what would you like to see happen? Because I presume part of the engine of growth in Dublin has to do with the growth of the city and the airport, you know, can benefit from that. What would you like to see happen that would not reverse that trend but rebalance it in some way, given that you are, in a sense, competing?
We're competing to an extent. We're in a different market. You know, passenger numbers reflect economic activity. They don't lead economic activity. So really it's how do we stimulate economic development in this region? Well, as the Shannon Group, we have to look in the mirror. You know, so we're investing very heavily. We're getting closer and closer to... other key stakeholders, whether it's Dennis's Limerick 2030, the councils, our tertiary education colleges, who are fantastic. And we're starting to see some really big wins. You know, Jaguar Land Rover basing their global development of their driverless car in Shannon is a massive coup. Edward Life Science coming to the Midwest and saying we're going to create 600 jobs here because that combination of quality of life, of disposable income of a talent pool of people is compelling. And I think it's, you know, do I want the tap to be turned off in Dublin and turned on in the Midwest? Well, that's nuts. It's not going to happen, and nor should it happen. You know, we need a strong capital. I think what is happening is maybe there's a bit of a tipping point coming where the investment proposition in the West is becoming more and more compelling. It's for us to grab it with both hands. And like you say, we see the investment really starting to flow. If I could have anything from government, it's support us in that growth. Help us help ourselves.
Okay. And talking about the wider investment in that region, thank you very much, Matthew Thomas, Chief Executive of Shannon Group.